How you doing, man?
Good. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. This is the First in a World podcast. My name's Chris Sanford. And my co-host of all co-hosts.
Alexei Van Ingen.
They're going to be better after that. You know, they figure out who they got on the show, man.
That's it for sure.
But, you know, what's our purpose, man? Our purpose is really to enlighten people. You know, in a world is all about connecting people to those places that they feel disconnected from. You know, a lot of this is psychological stuff. It's based in leadership. It's based in development. It's really just based on self-awareness, I think. You and I had the opportunity to deal with so many people. So we see so many case studies, if you will. Know what
That's
I mean?
Correct. 100%. We've seen and tutored and mentored a lot of unique individuals that have gone from great places to amazing places.
And some people who've been in amazing places and they've gone straight to the curb.
Straight to the curb.
Why do you think that is, man? And that's kind of the lead in to our discussion. But
I think things change, and it's just about right. It's being able to grow through that change really shows the mettle of people, right? We've seen people who were, you know, used all the right building blocks and all of the right tools and methods and are at the top of their game. And, you know, one attack comes at them and they lose that confidence and it's, it spirals to the ground. So it's about learning that you're not a one-trick pony and that you have a lot of growth and strength to offer and being able to shift that balance around as people try to take you out of the legs.
Preach. I couldn't agree more. I think the biggest aha moment came for me when I started working for people in the pharma industry. And I saw that people felt like as soon as they got a promotion or as soon as they became a people manager, that their job was done.
Right.
Like that was it. I've made it. I'm a district manager. I'm done. And that's where a lot of my leadership ideals have really come from. Mm-hmm. Because I saw folks and I was like, listen, this guy is or this woman is managing people. And they don't have a clue.
No clue.
So the organization has put all of this money into you. They put you to head somebody up. And I mean, and this will date us, but you remember back when Barnes and Nobles and it was Barnes and Nobles and what was the other one? Barnes and Nobles and it was two major bookstores. So look, yeah, we can't remember.
There was also a B word. It doesn't matter.
Man, what is it? I'm going to lose it. But anyway, I used to say,
I'll go be Jamie. I'll look that up.
go look it up. If you walked into a store, one of those bookstores, found the business section, opened up one business book, read one page,
right,
you'd be better than where you are right now. And I think that's the biggest thing is nobody's sharpening the sword.
No. What is sharpening the sword, Chris? Let's talk about that.
It's just like anything else, right? It's a perfect analogy. When you're cutting meat or you're cutting vegetables, you want a sharp knife. And when you don't sharpen it, it gets dull. And so now how is it to cut that meat? Right.
Exactly.
How is it? You know, how is it to cut that tuna? You know, for people who love sushi and you know how much, a tuna can cost.
Right.
They are hitting that thing with some blades, bro, that will cut paper in half. You know what
exactly.
I'm saying?
Exactly.
And so we have to treat ourselves like that. You have to consistently sharpen the sword. If you if you're into computer programming, you have to stay on top of what's happening now, what's going on with Adobe. If you're a freelance photographer like yourself, you have to stay on what's going on in the technology piece of cameras and lighting and all of these different things. And so we get into these roles where our number one product is actually people who are changing daily, right? Who are having kids, who are losing parents, who are getting divorced, who are moving. All these things are occurring, but we think we don't have to sharpen the sword to better be able to deal with them.
Exactly. Exactly. Remember Good Will Hunting? They had a really great thing in there.
Isn't that the one he was like, it's not your fault. Isn't that?
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one.
I can see us getting into a lot of battles about movies on who's right here.
Oh, that's yeah, for sure.
That's going to happen.
I'll be right every time. But no,
you know, 75% of the time.
Maybe not even that. But Will, the kid, right? Matt Damon, he's at somebody, he's somewhere, and he's like, I can't believe you guys. You spend all this money on fancy, beautiful books, and they're the wrong fucking books, right? It's about that same scenario. It's about, you know, it's not about buying the you know, and having that book on your shelf. It's about understanding what it's there. It's about arming yourself and equipping yourself with the right tools and then following through instead of just saying, you know, like a fad diet. Oh, I tried Atkins for a week and it didn't feel good.
Yeah. Now I'm eating Krispy Kremes. Yeah. Right. You know what I'm saying? No. And that's really it. Preach, brother. I mean, you're spot on because reading and doing research and bettering yourself is hard.
Yeah.
You know, you and I get on the Peloton and we know how hard that can be, right? Just to be like, oh, I got to put those shorts on. I got to get those shoes on. And this is going to be hard.
It is.
But how do you feel when that clock hits zero after a ride?
There's been a time
with your favorite Kindle tool who's bailing.
Leaving me. I can't believe
it. Kendall, where are you going?
Still pissed.
But how do you feel?
There has never been a time where I regretted having done that. I immediately feel better. I am always like, this is so worth it. It's like the ice plunge, right? Is it's like, you know,
yeah.
There's never a time where I'm going to want to get in that ice pool. But every time I get out of it, I'm like, oh, man, that was the best thing ever.
The thought of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so that's us is, you know, really as people, as leaders, as spouses, like you got to read.
Absolutely.
Or listen to something or do something that is going to, again, sharpen your sword. Because if not, you're going to get you don't want to get dull in your relationships. No. You don't want to get dull in how you lead people. And so I've seen across the board so many case studies, so many people won't read a thing. Mm-hmm. Nothing. And so then, you know, without even understanding people. Again, like I said, people are changing left and right every day.
Every day.
Something happens. Oh, my son got in a car. You know, I've been on the phone with you and your son had a fender bender.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So how's that going to change you? Right. And you're like, because you can see it on people. You see how they're looking at the phone. You're like, hey, everything good?
Right.
And you're like, it ain't, player. It ain't good. So.
Yeah. It's not the challenges that you run into. It's how you exit those challenges and what you do with that information moving forward.
How you exit it. And I think that, you know, really to me, today's discussion focuses around. Yeah. A, you got to sharpen the sword. You got to dig in. You got to try and fill in the gaps that you have. And I think that starts with emotional intelligence.
100% does.
You know, and so for people who don't understand what emotional intelligence is, it's just really being in tune with what's going on with you and what's going on with the people around you. Right. And so if you decided you were going to go and have a discussion with a customer or with an employee and you walked up to them and they're crying their eyes out. Is that the right time to have the discussion?
I'm going to go with no, Chris.
I mean, but to us, that seems obvious. But I think what happens is the amount of pressure that most businesses are under.
Correct.
And that they place on top of people. And you and I see it at every level.
Right. Right?
We see it at the president level, the head of sales, marketing, down to the, you know, the vice presidents who are running the district managers, and the district managers who are running the set. Everybody's under pressure because they got that number on their head.
Always got that number. Even the people at the cash registers, do you want the extended warranty with that? Like, no, do I look like I want the extended warranty? No,
you think I
wanna have to ask that.
You think I want to pay $150 on a TV that I bought for $500?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But they think that their job responsibility, their job performance means that they have to do that, and it does. And so it's just about that's also the emotional intelligence aspect, is understanding when and why.
Understanding when and why. And like, it's that old song, you know, know when to hold them,
know when to fold them,
know when to walk away. Right.
But more importantly than all of that, know when to run.
I think we need to run more, right?
Oh, 100%. There are so many times you just need to punt.
Eject, right? I should eject.
So we'll get him on the next set of downs.
That's it. And, you know, that's funny you say that. I think sports put so much because, you know, quarterback is one of the toughest positions, right?
100%.
But the quarterback is one of the smartest people that you have on your team. So when you see that, they understand the game, they understand the clock, they understand the plays, they understand all of these different things, and they're going to mess up.
True. Absolutely.
And you want to know the worst play mentally in a football game to me is a pick six.
Pick six.
Because you just threw a pass.
Mm-hmm.
They ran it back. They scored. They're screaming. You got like 5 minutes to go compose yourself, and you got to get right back out there.
Exactly.
And it's throw it and throw crushing. A pat. And you can't be like, oh, I'm scared now.
There's no room to crumble.
Right. So back to our point, right? Emotional intelligence, sharpen the sword. If you sharpen the sword, you'll have better emotional intelligence because you're actually looking into things. Like if you deal with people, you need to engulf yourself in scenarios that deal with people.
Exactly.
Right. So, what's the scenario of a tough conversation that I might have to have? Or what's the scenario when I want to, you know, award someone something? How should I do it?
Exactly.
So, you know, that scenario we talked about, often people, they're like, well, you know, I've got two kids, a mortgage and a kid in school. I need this money. So I don't care that you're crying at your desk right now. I'm going to have to tell you, you got to hit the number.
Exactly.
And it's like, there's a time and a place for that. Right.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about it all the time, right? There's going to be times when you're in a scenario or a conflict scenario and it's like, okay, we're not going to go there right now. Let's have that conversation down the road or later, because you're in a bad spot and you might need me for something else. And not only is that going to show the other person that you are in that with them, you know, that you're going to gain some trust and respect along the way.
Oh man, it's nothing like people high-fiving you when something went great. But man, you sure enough, you remember those people that are there for you when you are on your knees and you got scraped up knuckles.
Yep. More than anything.
When your knuckles are scraped and your job is on the line and people are like, do what you need to do and take care of yourself. I believe that's part of emotional intelligence as well, because you have to find compassion for people.
Right.
You know. If you don't have compassion for the people on your team, then you got the wrong people on your team.
Yeah. I mean, NBA, right? you make a free throw, it's high fives. You miss a free throw, it's still high fives, man. You got this. We're together.
They touch every time.
Every time.
They touch. It's like, hey, man, that's just some good juju I'm giving you.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So, I think that's where we're headed with this program is being able to talk about real life experiences and how this will hit some people in the, you know, in the breadbasket. A lot of us aren't doing it the right way.
No, a lot have more, a lot to work, learn and gain.
It's more than not. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's more people doing it wrong in higher positions than there are people who are doing it right.
Couldn't agree with you more.
And one of the things that, you know, we come out with these lists and stuff every year. You know, people are like, top company to work for in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, those are just lists and different things like that. You really find it when you know, there are certain companies that it's just almost impossible for you to get into.
Impossible,
because the culture is so great, and it's like you can't break it. Now, if you knew somebody who worked there and you could get in, yeah. But
right,
there are some places that people would literally run through a brick wall for. And remember, we used to use that term a lot. Oh, I run through a brick wall for them. You know,
yep.
It's not there. Like it used to be.
No.
And don't trip on the fact that, listen, man, a lot of people are still dealing with post COVID trauma.
Totally. Right.
Go ahead.
I mean, do I, this dynamic shift of I'm going to work from home. Oh, you need to come back. Oh, I don't think that's okay.
Let me tell you something. I've been a butts and seats guy for over 20 years.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. Butts and seats. We need butts and seats. Now, I couldn't believe it worked out that well.
I agree.
I mean, still, there's nothing that beats 20, you know, 30 people in a room, coffee and cookies in the corner, somebody coming in every 45 minutes to refresh the stuff. You got the clicker up there. You know what I'm saying? You got some funny videos. That's the bee's knees in terms of production, coaching, and running meetings. It's the bee's knees.
It is, but it's also, you know, you can't always get what you want. And, you know.
And now, I mean, It's a gift and a curse, because some organizations, you look across the board, right? Mm-hmm. When these large organizations stop doing these big national sales meetings,
yep,
they looked at how much that they saved, and that's the last thing you can do for a big organization to be like, we saved $2 million on that,
and we're still here,
and we're still here.
Next year we're gonna do that again.
Yeah, next year we're gonna tighten that. We don't need everybody there,
right? And keep going.
No, go ahead.
I think that's the same, right? Is it's like, obviously you've got these upper level management that's like, I want everybody's butt in their seat every day, and because they don't want to come in and say empty cubicles. But then you've got the other side of people created pathways and lifestyles and child care needs off of the point of like, hey, I might never have to go into the office again. So, you know, are either of those right or wrong?
Not to mention they wore sweatpants for 2 years.
They wore sweatpants. So
when it's time to put on them khakis, they was a little tight.
They're like, oh, what happened here?
What's a belt? You know what I'm saying? But also... we figured out that you can do some work without having to sit next to a person.
Exactly. I think the answer is somewhere in the middle, right? It is being an effective manager, knowing how to reach out, foster, and and still grow your people and make those connections without having to see them every day. But at the mm-hmm. same time, having that time together and having team building events and structures that aren't mandatory fun, right? We can talk more about mandatory fun down the road, but
none like mandatory fun.
it's a dance. And again, you know, if everybody could do it, everybody'd be amazing, but everybody's not amazing. So it's about learning that balance.
Yeah. And if you've got people who are, if I'm doing work with you on Teams mm-hmm. or on Zoom, or any type of virtual platform that you want to use. What was that other one we used to use?
WebEx.
WebEx, right? If you're doing, so, you know, why am I going to spend 2 hours in traffic to go in to get on a call with somebody that's on a team?
Yep.
So some companies got it, though. Some companies were like, we're selling this building. We've gone virtual.
True.
Right? And there's obviously benefits to both sides, but
of course
it's a new world. Cause there were people there were people who you talk about people who went into the office every day,
every day,
what, you know, waited on the birthday cake, waited on the
pizza party.
Oh, it's Doris's birthday. Yay. You know what I'm saying? They're in.
If you want a pizza party, go get yourself a pizza party.
now you're like, and during the pandemic, I felt like I worked harder than I ever did.
Ever.
Because it was dark to dark.
Yeah. I mean,
it was dark to dark. You know, what were you going to say?
I didn't want to train wreck your threat, but I mean, and I think it's been interesting because dark to dark never worked harder. But not to stand on top of something negative, but professionally, I think you and I had some of our biggest career upswings ever because of the pandemic.
And I agree. And don't get me wrong, man. A lot of people lost their lives in the pandemic.
Exactly.
So peace be with the families. Peace be with the individuals that were lost. Because of the work that I did, I almost didn't have time to even, like, it shielded me a bit. Right. Because we were working so hard to create trainings and different things like that, that, you know, by the time the day was over, it was like, you know, give me a cup of wine and what did Lester Holt say? Right, you know what I mean? It was like, what are we doing? And then it was like right back again.
I mean, right. It's, to me, it's all about there's always going to be, you know, and this might be cheesy or whatever, but you know, the silver linings playbook, right?
It's a silver tint on every dark cloud.
There's always going to be a positive not spin, because that's fake, but there's always a positive out, right? There's always a hand of solitaire that you can win. And it's just finding that combination of cards, finding that route down the maze where you can end with success. And if you're not always looking at it like that, then you're going to get left behind.
Yeah. And I think the outcome for me is that old mentality of, okay, I need you here for 3 days. Mm-hmm. I need everybody in Dallas for 3 days. It can be 2.5.
It could be 2.5.
It could be, you know, it could be 1.5 with pre-work and technology. And I just think we learn so much in terms of technology, so much in terms of letting people do stuff on their own time, like giving them an opportunity. Okay, complete this before you get here, right? So that just saved us. That just saved us a half a day because, you know, you're going to get people in meetings that just want to run their mouth. So they're going to hold you up.
Yep.
Right. So it cuts that down. And it just changes, you know, people want to be treated like adults. I think pre-pandemic, we just herded cattle and you had to do what you were told to do.
Right.
And I was shocked at how many people, stood up to big corporate organizations and said, I ain't coming back.
Yeah, I was, you know, it was pretty interesting to see that kind of, you know, mentality of like, wait, I don't have to do this.
Mm-mm. And I don't want to. Right. And OK, can I find something virtual? I mean, and you got to understand, I don't know what I was on, but I decided to go back and get my MBA. Right.
During all this doesn't hurt enough. I need some more.
Yeah, I need some more pain. Hey, can you tighten that down a little bit?
And I will pay for it.
Yeah. Oh, my God, bro. You know how much money? I'm like, what was I doing? send them student loans reimbursements this way. That's right. But, dude, I did my entire MBA online. Entire. And it was no joke.
No joke.
It was no joke. I had we call them the masterminds, man. We got it. It was my cohort. It was big. It got small. We got tight. Most of us didn't see each other for the first time till we graduated.
Right.
It was always like this. But and there were some kick-ass classes on there, man. I learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have never thought that you could run a decent program like that without having to go and be in butts and seats. Right. So to me, that being able to go through a rigorous 2.5 year, you know, not 2.5, 18 month process like that.
Right.
It changed things. So. Yep. So you just got to keep evolving. You know what I mean? You got to keep evolving. For people that don't know what emotional intelligence is, you have to look into it. And I think all of that just comes back to the fact that as leaders, as just employees, you got to keep grinding. You got to keep searching for something that makes you go. You remember, it makes you go, right?
Things that make you go,
Things that make you go, And so whatever that is, when you learn, you know, walk me through what happens to you. And I kind of know this because I know you well, but I want you to tell the people out there. When you learn something new, what do? When you learn something new,
you want to do it. You want to get out there and try it out and see where can I make this fit into a bunch of different things.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then once you see it works, what's the next thing you want
to
do?
You want to teach somebody else to do it.
You want to teach somebody else how to do it. Man, that's like that's Oscar Gold right here. This little Oscar Gold. Like this little section right here. You want to teach somebody else how to do it. So if you just learn something new, like, oh, and this is a little tidbit for people. Right. Let's just say you manage and you could be managing it. You could be managing a group of people at a grocery store. You could be managing a call center. Mm-hmm. Right. Or you could be managing a bunch of salespeople going into the hospital. OK, this is very easy. Always give public praise to people.
Yes.
Right. Hey. Bill, awesome job. You did this. This was excellent. You know, you get Employee of the Month award. Bah, right? Picture up there. On the other hand, if there are things that Bill needs to work on, or you need to have a tough conversation, or you need to correct Bill, you don't do that in public. You do that in private.
Right.
Now, just for kicks and giggles, what would make somebody think why they should give that that public corrective action discussion in front of other people? Like, let's just act like we don't know. What would make you think why that could be good to do?
I mean, you're setting an example. You're like, hey, let's everybody learn from this mistake together and let's not do it anymore.
But what does that do to Bill?
Oh, it crushes Bill.
Crushes Bill. He's embarrassed.
100%.
Right. He's got his work peeps. He's got his work mentors, work brother, maybe a work wife. Right. Nice cut at the knee. Hey, come on. It's out here. There's work spouses, you know. You don't have to cross the line, but you got a work somebody that is they there. Okay.
Couldn't agree with you more.
But now bills cut down because you're trying to do sports. You're trying to treat it like sports. Yep. Right. And that's where a lot of people go wrong. Sports. You got exposed. You got exposed quickly every time. What the hell are you doing? Right. That's so everybody else knows. Don't pull that.
Yep.
You can't do that in the workplace.
Right, because there isn't that same level of emotional intelligence. On the field, you know, it's like, oh, sorry, coach, I screwed up. Thanks for telling me. And you put it behind you and you move past, or else you're not on the team.
It's gladiator days. Yeah, it's gladiator days out there.
Exactly.
We're doing gladiator days. We're hitting people. We're throwing dingers. You know, we're not. It's really like in the middle of the Coliseum, and those rules, there are a lot of things that you learn about being a team player that, you know, transfer into the workplace,
right?
But not that style of coaching.
Yeah.
Right. Listen, there's a lot of embarrassment in sports.
A lot.
Right. You know, it's just like baseball. Coach comes out, hand me the ball in front of everybody. Right? That's enough. You've thrown too many, you know, they hit three dingers off of you and you just walked.
You were about to start with Mickey. I knew where you were going. He's going to be changed in next week, Rocky.
He'll knock you in the next month, Rock. Yeah, that's the you threw me off for a second, but that's the deal. There's public embarrassment in sports.
Mm-hmm.
People can't handle that on the job.
And to me, the emotional intelligence is both sides of that. If you're the boss, mm-hmm. it's understanding you can't treat people that way in the workplace. Mm-hmm. But if you're that employee, it's understanding this is just a job. This is just work. I need to kind of shed myself of that pain and not let it define me and move forward.
You can't. And not everybody's going to do stuff right. And that's the whole piece is that, you know, even as a people leader, sometimes we're going to have bad days.
100%.
But the people leaders who really look into themselves, focus on meditation, right? Focus on timing of things. And, you know, what's that golden rule, right? If somebody sends you a crazy email, should you respond immediately? No.
Yeah. No, it's like after surgery or, you know, don't go operating heavy machinery or don't make life defining decisions. You might be in a vulnerable spot. Maybe you should sit on that a little bit.
You should sit on it. Unless you stayed in the Holiday Inn Express.
I stayed in a Holiday. Still know my jokes, man.
Uh-huh. Peace to Holiday Inn Express. I don't want to dog anybody. Peace and blessings, Holiday Inn Express. Peace and
blessings.
Namaste.
I will not stay at you, though.
Namaste, Holiday Inn Express.
Namaste.
Namaste.
That's a you stay.
That's not my stay. yeah, man. So for people, it's really staying in tune with yourself, right?
Yes.
And I think staying in tune with yourself is about searching. Even if it's just like a daily book on, you know, a blurb every day to read.
Yep.
Because I get it. A lot of people get out of school and I didn't think I could do it again. But the amount of reading we had to do.
Yep.
Bro, you see how your brain is. Your brain can take on so much stuff.
Right.
So. One, focusing on doing something to better yourself every day.
Yep.
Is going to connect you with something new. To your point, you're going to want to practice it. Then you're going to want to share it. Right. As soon as Apple comes out with something, you're the first person. Hey, look at this. You see that? Throw your thumb up. The bubbles will come. Right. And so it's like, oh, I didn't know I could do that.
Correct.
So it's all of these things that you end up sharing with people. Now, you're sharing that. You're passing along knowledge. Right. And so if you're sharpening your sword, then you're going to, if you manage people, like, I don't care what product you manage, or your, let's say you got 10 people on your team and they sell something for you.
Mm-hmm.
Your product is not that product. Your product are those people.
That's those people.
I don't care what you're selling. It could be, you know, it could be newspapers. You know what I'm saying? It could be knee braces, but yep. You're not selling the knee brace. Your customer are those people.
That's your job, is those people.
And I think that's the biggest mistake.
Correct.
Because people are like, I sold the most knee braces ever. Listen to me. As soon as you start managing people, bro, you just need to get a psychologist chair and that's let right. them sit there.
So how does that make you feel?
Yeah. Seriously.
Yes.
Because if you're jammed up at home, you're not going to be 100%. So I got to do everything I can to help you see the light through the darkness that you got at home and try and get through it.
That's right.
So, man, what a great conversation, bro.
Always the best.
Always the best. In a world,
What are we talking about next? Strategies for building a successful and cohesive team?
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, just, you know, the other thing too, and we'll close this out, but the other thing is people are crazy now, man.
Yes, they are.
Let's just keep it 1,000. There's people, whenever I'm out, my head is on a swivel. It's on a swivel.
Yep.
In Target. You know, I was in Target before a little bit today. And it's like, you know, even the people that work there, like, are you on the verge? Are you on edge?
Correct.
So knowing that people are on edge, you have to be extra special about how you choose to put people on your team.
Exactly.
People are great chameleons. And so... They're great, man. So next time we get together, we're going to talk about, you know, how you look for people. The type of questions you ask. Right. And how you if you can shut up and let people talk, they'll tell you everything.
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 Exactly.
Well, thank you, brother.
Thank you
all for listening. We can't wait to create this journey with you. We look forward to getting feedback, and in the future maybe a guest or two.
I think that'd be amazing.
I think that'd be sweet.
You have a great day, my man.
You too, bro. Peace.
Peace.